The fifth quarter.
Fifth quarter, as we've caught our breath after another thriller involving the Cats. Unfortunately, they're on the wrong side of the ledger. 12-16-88 Geelong. Sydney 14-6-90. Sydney improved to 5-2. The Cats are 4-3. We're happy to take your call, Cat fans. 52232955 is the number. We have a double pass giveaway to Next Level Skirmish, nextlevelskirmish.com.au. But if you'd like to be in the running for that, give us a call on your thoughts on tonight's performance and where you see the Cats at after seven rounds. So we're basically a third of the way through the home and away season ahead of a clash with Richmond next Friday night. St Kilda earlier tonight, 19-14-128. Hawthorn 9-5-59. And at the Gabba, well, an interesting result there where the Lions have done a number on Port Adelaide, 13-15-93 to 5-14-44. So the Adelaide teams combined today have kicked 9 goals, 29, and both lost. So not a good day for the City of Churches when it comes to football. Let's have a look at the updated ladder following Geelong's performance, and they are now fifth. So Sydney has climbed into fourth and are a game clear of the fifth place Cats. And based on the rest of the ladder, depending on the Fremantle West Coast result tomorrow, the Cats will enter round eight in fifth position, you would suspect, unless Freo were to get up and that would drop Geelong down to sixth. But next week it'll be fifth versus sixth between Geelong and the Tigers. Benny, the KFC Twitter has blown up. Happy to take your calls, 52232955, the KFC Twitter. And of course, you can get into KFC today for 24 nuggets for just $10. What are they saying? What is the pervading sentiment through these tweets?
Oh, Cat fans a little bit up in arms, Kingy, as you can imagine, but Adrian Mancini suggesting, forget the umpires, we blew it. You can't statistically dominate like that and lose. Get a sustainable ruckman and learn to kick to the advantage of your teammates. Rocket suggesting was pretty ordinary from quarter time onwards. Everybody was second to the ball. Can we please fling Stanley and Atkins out of the goddamn catapult and get ourselves a decent ruckman? Joey Kazina suggesting Cats control the game when able to mark the footy. Good sides don't let that happen. 43 marks in first quarter, 6-2. And then after quarter time, Swans dominated. I never blame the umps, but how is that not 15 metres? Talking, I think, about the Jeremy Cameron mark. But Cats lucky a couple of times this year, so can't complain. Scott suggesting lost it ourselves, but I just can't watch Cameron mark in last seconds again. Absolutely robbed. Daniel Burke looked like a loss from rough ridges. Don't think we played that badly. Chris Vesti, when we refuse to address our ruck position for years, you get opposition ruckmen having games like that, and it costs us games. Daz Broncos also suggesting that Stanley, I think it might have been Daz suggesting that, can we tell Stanley put his hair back to blonde, as whatever he washed out this week took more than just hair colour. Was massive last week and got flogged this week. Go the Cats. That's probably, in a nutshell, you know, one of the issues with Reece Stanley. His good's quite good and his bad is quite bad. There's not a whole lot in between.
James, he's first on the line on the Carrick Open line, 52232955. Hello, James.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, James. Fire away.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm just heading on the light rail heading out of the SCG with a lot of other Geelong supporters here. And we're not really happy. I mean, the first quarter was really good. They went forward. You know, no matter what they did, kicked the ball forward. And up the third quarter, fourth quarter, what'd they do?
Nieldy?
Yeah, well, James, yeah, absolutely. The first quarter, the Cats were really good in moving the ball forward. They still managed to maintain possession a little bit while doing that. Sydney certainly adjusted the way that they were defending. They did have a lot of numbers behind the ball, so that was making it difficult for the Cats to actually go forward, because if they went forward, they would have gone into a massive outnumber situation. But, yeah, Sydney were really good, and that's the way that they played it. So Geelong need to find a way through when they've come up against that tactic, because you just can't blindly kick the ball forward if you're going to kick it into more of the opponents than you are of your teammates. But so you need to find a way around that, and that's something the Cats will need to work on.
Thank you for your call, James. Steve is next on the line. Steve, thank you for waiting.
How you going, guys?
Bit flat?
Yeah, me too. Look, I'd be interested in hearing what you guys think about that. I mean, every day that was a 15-metre kick for Cameron and the mark. I mean, seriously, how can they pay all day long and not pay and pay to 15 metres and say not 15 metres, and then on that kick it definitely wasn't coming from one side of the goal to the other, and not pay it? You know, I can understand the last play where Joel got the guy and it was obviously holding the ball. He just sat there, the Sydney player, and didn't get rid of it, and the siren went fine. But, I mean, the Cameron mark was a mark. I mean, it just does my head in.
Did he call, Steve, did he call not 15 or did he call touch?
Called not 15.
Yeah, I was just watching it on the replay here and it's clearly travelled 15 metres.
Yeah, look, the only, look, without talking to the umpire, you can't get into his mind to see what he was thinking. It certainly, it's obvious that people will be frustrated, and I think it'd be fair to say too, we'll see kicks like that that are marked paid in future games, and we might see some not pay, but yep, that would fall into the unlucky category, I think.
Yep. Steve, thanks for your call in the running for the next level skirmish double pass. Happy to take more of your calls. 52232955.
Just watching it on here, so the ball has travelled from probably 5 metres one side of the goal square, and he has marked the ball in halfway between the goalposts and the point posts on the other side of the goal square.
I agree with you, Ben. And I think a giveaway when you watch that back, and they showed the replay a number of times, there's not one Sydney player near Jeremy Cameron that actually claims the ball was not 15.
Yep.
They let him. They don't tackle him until the umpire screams not 15 for about the 15th time. They thought that was a mark.
Big hypothetical, though.
Oh, we love hypothetical.
Well, what would happen was that he wouldn't have been able to actually come out on the J-curve.
He wouldn't have.
For his kick, because it's all right. Well, he would have been able to. He would have been able to start on the boundary and come to where the mark was. Yes. But that wouldn't have been enough. I suspect we're probably talking about something that's moot. It would have been a very, very tough kick.
It would have been. And Cat fans will talk about that, and rightly so. It probably should have been paid a mark, and he may or may not have gone back and kicked the goal. But I just would have thought Geelong shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. They were, I thought, out pretty much. The last quarter, I suppose, they kicked 2-6, was it, to 4 straight?
They were pretty good in the last quarter. They just
couldn't score. There was a couple of things on Twitter about their kicks inside forward 50 weren't great after quarter time, I should say, that the delivery wasn't great.
Because the pressure was greater.
Yeah, and the point, there was a good point there on Twitter, I think it was from Joey, that that when the Cats are able to control the game, they look great. And that means controlling the ball with marks.
Yeah.
And when they weren't allowed to do that, they came back to the pack quite quickly.
Well, they did. But then remember that, and quite rightly, all football fans see the game through their lens and it's one-eyed. Now, they have just been beaten by a side at home. Yes, they've got some injuries. So have Geelong couple. Sydney have won 5 of 7 games.
Yeah,
they've lost
good.
One after the siren. Like, they're not a bottom four side.
Yep.
They're playing really well. So tonight, and they had to pull all stops out, and that's a great win for them to come from 5 goals down. So that even hurts. And, you know, again, the most disappointed people will be the Geelong players and the Geelong coaching group.
Yep.
Yeah, and you
can
see
they will go to work straight away. They were flat in that room and walking off. They'll be lamenting a whole range of things, and they have to pick up the pieces, learn what they need to learn, and then get ready for Richmond on Friday night. That's what it's all about.
And even the other thing that's probably slightly concerning is that a number of their better players played quite well. I mean, Guthrie's had 30, Duncan's had 29, Selwood's had 29, 14 contested. Stewart was good with 25. Henry, I thought, was probably maybe Geelong's best player.
He was good.
He had 23 possessions. Dalhouse, you know, had 21, 5 tackles, kicked 1 goal, 2. Menegola's had 21, Parfitt's had 20. They've all sort of chipped in, even close, 18 possessions, 2 goals. Cameron's had 7, kicked 3 goals. A lot of their better players played well, and yet they still lost.
John, next on the line. John, thanks for your call.
G'day, how you going, boys?
Yes, as I said to Steve, a little bit flat in the K-Rock Hub after tonight.
You're not wrong. I just wanted to comment about overrated Tom Hawkins. what was he doing tonight? He got beaten by a nobody player, and, you know, everyone says how good Tom Hawkins is. He's so overrated, I just can't believe it, and he's so inconsistent, and he's missed those shots when he should have kicked them. You know, he's been around long enough to kick those goals when it matters, and I don't know. I just don't know. He's just overrated to me, so he's just frustrating as a player to watch. I know he used my knowing well, but to me, he's overrated. Even Cameron Ling said on Channel 7, Tom Hawkins is overrated. So,
oh, I wouldn't have. John, are you sure? Are you absolutely certain Cameron Ling said Tom Hawkins is overrated? Because if that's the case and that got back to Tom Hawkins, I really want to be a fly on the wall at the 2011 Premiership reunion.
John, the great thing about footy, it brings out the passion in people, and we get that, and that's what helps make the game go around. But you are talking about
that sound you can hear, by the way, is Newty throwing the ball into the air and catching it.
You are talking about a guy who's nearly played 300 games of league footy, kicked over 600 goals. He's been all Australian, won best and fairest, and won two premierships. It's a fair CV and won Coleman medals. We get the fact that people get really disappointed and they want their team to win and they want their team and they want players to be best on ground and play really well each week. And that's great. But I think to call Tom Hawkins overrated, I reckon you're off the mark.
And he plays in a position that modern footy, sometimes you can have bad days. I mean, we saw it. Tom Lynch has been pretty average until last night for Richmond. Tom Hawkins certainly wasn't his best night tonight, and he'd be the first one to admit
Absolutely he would.
But, he's a very good player. And I mean, the days of your forward kicking 4 or 5 goals every week, they are gone. That is not going to happen. You'll do it every now and then, but you won't be doing it too often.
Thank you for your call. John in the running for the next level skirmish double pass, but after that I don't reckon you're a chance. Just seen the Melbourne team for tomorrow.
Nathan, yep, done.
Nathan Jones has been dropped.
Yep.
So he played 300th last week and been Tijuana'd.
He has indeed. Jones, he's been a great servant of the Melbourne Footy Club and the game, and he's one of those players that's changed. People say people don't change.
You really hope that if they go deep into finals, Nathan Jones is part of it for what he's been through over the...
Not if he's not in the best 22,
no,
Tom.
I know. There's no room for sentiment, unfortunately.
No, because you want to win. Yeah. That's the way it goes. I just want to pick up on one point. Ben, you mentioned before that the Cats' better players played well, and you read out the numbers, and those numbers would indicate exactly that. One of the areas of the game that will be in the review, particularly of the midfield group, some of the stoppage setups and the way that the players played that, particularly in the centre bounce in the third quarter, was not at AFL elite standard. What happened, particularly when the sweeper moves, now this might sound really technical because it is, but the sweeper's job is to stand behind the ruckman, and if the ball comes forward from the opposition, they've got to come through them. And there's arts to it, and really good players know how to do it. And if you're going to be in the centre bounce, you've got to know how to do it, particularly if you're an experienced player, because on a small ground or in a final where it's a scrap and goals are hard to come by, if you're going to let the opposition walk through the centre bounce and they get a free run inside 50, you're playing with fire. It happens occasionally, but for it to happen multiple times for the same reason in the third quarter, that will be something that they need to get
on
top of.
So who you were suggesting was it?
I had a crack at Guthrie for a couple of times because he just misread it. Now, it's hard for me. I haven't analysed every centre bounce this year. Something I used to do. I'm not going to do any more. But it was just stood out for me, having been involved with it, that was an area of the ground, the Swans, area of the game they targeted.
Was that players or was that coaching?
Well, they stood in the right position. So you got it's a bit of both. But if you're an experienced player, you know how important that role is. They all do. And you mentioned there were a couple of times where people had, you know, their mind wanders, they lose concentration. That sort of stuff is a concentration loss because they start in the right position. There was one there where they all took off and they all ran forward when the ball was in dispute. Now, that's not good enough. And what happens is you get done. And they will go through that. And they're good players and they'll work it out. But that's an area of the game that they need to get better at.
I think running forward has probably been an issue at times for Geelong, not tonight, but just across the journey. They often have a lot of players who are very offensive-minded, and that's great. And it's when it's not balanced out with a bit of a defensive mindset from some, they get exposed.
Yeah.
And
that's why there's different roles there. Look, and I'm being overcritical, and that's what I used to do. I used to coach that part of the game, and that was glaring to me that part of the centre square structure, Sydney were much better at it, particularly in the third quarter at Cox.
Well, Hickey dominated so much so that blitz halves had to go into the ruck, and he actually provided something for the Cats. And then, ironically, I mean, look, you don't want to pick on him, but and they got a goal. Stanley coughed up a goal in the third quarter when Hickey just removed him from the ruck.
He did.
In the last quarter, Sinclair removed him from the ruck and handballed it to, I think, Florent, who kicked a goal. So
those boundary throws, Ben, spot on. In the middle of the ground, though, it's not all on him. There are four blokes in there. And I just thought that was an area that they didn't quite get right. But, you know, Reece didn't have his best
game. He had a bad one. And one of the problems with his confidence sort of player and his confidence is going to be, I mean, he knows better than anyone when the game's on the line in the final quarter and you've got your number one ruckman on the bench and you've got your center full back in the ruck, Reece Stanley knows very, very well that the coaching staff have lost all confidence in him.
And you know the most disappointed person?
Will be him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But this is the point. You know, next week he'll come up against Toby Nankervis. There's really nothing else. Although I noticed Kingy Fort was in the best players. Do they go try Fort? I'm not sure he's the answer either, to tell you the truth, but maybe they will.
Yeah, we've spoken about this before. That's something Geelong, that's a list management decision. They've been really, I suppose, consistent in the way that they deal with their salary cap spend and their certain roles on the ground. And one of them is not paying for a high-paid ruckman. They don't do it.
We're hoping to speak with one of the Cats. We have put a request in, but we've had radio silence, unfortunately, from the Geelong Football Club. So we hope that they can acquiesce to our request.
Aren't they doing, like, didn't I read in the back page of the Audi today, they're doing a quick in and out, maybe just, and yeah. They're just about... But that, be on the plane.
That hasn't been communicated to us. So you would think that as their radio partner that they would communicate to us that it's going to be tight and they've known this for 24 hours, that you'd pick up the phone and go, hey, guys, you might struggle to have a chat to a player.
You're probably right. But I read it in the paper this morning. I was all across it, Tom.
Yeah.
Did you say that there'd be no interviews post-game if you lose?
They said, Tom King, please read this.
So we are just waiting for...
I'll just do a couple of stats, King. You don't want me to go...
Well, no, we'll go to a break and we'll see if we can get some touch base with our good friends. Now, is it true there's a Geelong Supercats player in the sports bet ad, which is the paper toss? Is that correct? I heard there was a Geelong Supercats player. You might even be the captain of your club. Is that correct, Neildy?
I don't know.
He's got no idea.
I absolutely have no idea what you're asking me.
Do you know what? I'm just looking down at these stats, Kerr's Highstyle.
In this ad here I'm watching, sorry, Ben.
Yeah, the sports bet ad where they...
Well, it's not great
it's for the
radio.
Paper, the paper toss ad.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'll have to...
Geelong had 65 inside 50s to 39. Somehow lost. So they're 24 more inside 50s. No, make that 26.
Yeah, well.
And lost.
Stats aren't everything in football, are they?
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Not at all. Look, Sydney Swans made the most of their opportunities when the ball went forward. They scored easily, and they had a big, tall forward who stood up and went clunk.
Lucky kicked Henderson.
Four of them.
Lucky Henderson didn't have a great night.
No, he didn't. Got caught
looks slow.
Next to a behemoth.
He did, yeah, and he got I don't know, I'm not sure he's in the... He's not a bad player. He was very good last week, but last week, I don't know what you read into that, but just think for the mix, and I'm not having a go at him, but I think in the mix of that defence at Lockie Henderson, isn't a player that should be in there.
What about Kingy? He told us halfway through the third quarter that Geelong's already spoken to Tom McCartan's management. Is that
no,
what he said?
No. Mark, did I say that?
I think he signed a long-term
deal with Sydney. I'm getting the hang of this. What are you going to do? Someone's not... Surely they can't get upset with me when they claim the media didn't give the whole truth. You reckon that'd be the first time that's ever
happened? And nothing but the truth. We're going to a break, Kingy?
Yeah, I think we might go to a break. The fifth quarter.